try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. People come to me and they say, what kind of a music program do you have here? What kind of a program do you have for children here? What kind of activities do you have for children here? And when they discover we don't have an all-out program here that keeps the children occupied most of the time, they go somewhere else. And to think of going to a church where they might actually be criticized or suffer persecution, and the community might look down upon them, they couldn't possibly stand that for themselves or their children. God never put the church down here to be an entertainment center. And certainly God means for us to have children's activities, for us to love children, for us to take children places, for us to teach in the Word of God, for children to have fun. I don't deny any of that. But some churches go overboard on it. I don't believe we do. Some people may say we go underboard. I think it's about right. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. The Bible said you could know these marvelous heavenly things that were awaiting. The Bible indicated they were there. Do I want a crown? I sure do. Why? Because the Lord said it was there, indicated it was worth running for, and I believe the Lord. I don't expect to get a crown if I don't have to suffer a little. I don't expect to get a crown if I'm not criticized. If everything always goes smoothly and everybody that comes here loves me and stays here and hugs me and squeezes me and buys me suits and watches and clothes, I don't expect that. I expect to be criticized. I expect it. And if I don't receive it, I wonder if I'm doing the right thing. Because they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Many of our churches today have sold out, and the pastor thinks the successful way to pastor is to be popular with the people and to give them just what they want, and they'll love him. God's people that want to do what God wants will love a pastor because he teaches and preaches the Word. And if they love him for other reasons, that's nice. But unless he preaches and teaches the Word, he's doing them a terrible disservice. Now I want you to notice in Luke 21, 31, 32, what he indicates God's children should be seeking. I told you I wanted a crown. I want a robe. I want to live in that city. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, you're not worthy. You don't deserve it. I know that. But the Lord indicated we were supposed to make a run for it. I'd be a fool not to do so. He says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. Who's he talking to? So check the context. He was talking to those men who had followed him for more than 3 years. And they had followed him as a local visible assembly of believers who had all been scripturally baptized by John, including Jesus himself. They had all gone to John. They had all been baptized by the only man on the earth who had the authority when they went to him, John, and he baptized them by immersion in the River Jordan, and Jesus walked over 50 miles to be baptized. This little flock was a local church. They were stones built together, and the head of the church was with them, the foundation of the church was with them, and the person of Jesus Christ. He told them, he said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, he said that in Luke, the 12th chapter. Now, look what he said in Luke 22, 28 through 30 to the same group of men. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. What happened? When there's trouble in a church, people run and scatter like flies. They find a church where they can feel more at ease. Well, there sometimes it's best to leave a church. The strike just gets so bad it doesn't look like it's ever going to straighten out. But the Lord meant for us to continue with him in his testing. You're going to be tested in one of God's two churches. devil doesn't bother those much that aren't his. Why should he? They're not causing him any problems. God gets glory out of a saved person's life when they obey God and worship where he says, the way he says, following the rules that he gave us in his book. I'm going to shut this thing down just a little up here because that whining is just probably getting on the tape and it's probably bothering some of you all. So I'll turn this down just a skosh. That'll probably help some. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. Now notice what he said to them. These were saved men. They were all saved. They'd already been baptized. He said, and I appoint unto you a kingdom. My Father hath appointed unto me. Well, now let's continue in verse 30 about this kingdom that he had appointed to them. That ye may eat and drink at my table, my kingdom, set on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This was the first church. They were all saved. They were all baptized by the proper authority. Jesus was their head. He was their foundation. This church right here, the head of it is Jesus Christ. The foundation of it is Jesus Christ. And we are the lively stones in between. And he tells us to seek the kingdom of God. Now, if we are already saved and going to heaven, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is where Christ positions himself. In the millennial reign, he's going to be in the city in Jerusalem. That's the kingdom of God. In the heaven age, this city, three-fifths the size of the United States, is the kingdom of God. There are going to be lots of people living in this city that were faithful. There are going to be lots of saved people living out here that were faithful. Where would you like to live? Based on faithfulness. Some churches cannot stand the Word of God. They just can't stand a steady diet of it. And eventually, if a person doesn't like the Word of God, he'll leave that church and find one where they have 45 minutes of singing and 10 minutes of preaching. Because the songs usually move his flesh, and he can put up with 10 minutes of the Word. And most of the preachers that pastor these churches have long since learned, don't do anything that gets on their toes. 1 Peter 5, 2-4. See the flock of God which is among you. That's what a local church is. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. I don't think you could ever legitimately accuse me of not of being guilty of this, because I started off here at $60 a week, and the church considers that every week, every month, I have 4 weeks, so they paid me $240 a month, which was all they could afford. And I had 7 children, so it was a struggle. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's what I want. That's exactly what I want. And that's why I'm preaching, and I'm teaching, and I'm studying, and that's why I'm here tonight. I try to feed this church the Word of God. That's my calling. Every one of you have a work that you can do in this church. And God doesn't expect everybody to pastor. God expects you to do what you can in your giving, in your attendance, in your ability to perform certain functions in the church, whatever they may be. And you give God enough time, and God will work out what he wants you to do. He doesn't expect you to climb Mount Everest. He just expects you to be willing to do what he wants. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You ever think about a crown? And don't give me this business. I don't want a crown. Don't give me this humble pie. Oh, I don't want a crown. Don't give me that. I'll make fun of you. It won't work. Because you're saying whatever God has, you're not that interested in. I believe the Word of God, and I'm very interested in it. And it lasts forever. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. This crown of glory has to be obtained in the place where you give God glory. In a local church by Christ Jesus, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Verse 22. This is what a church is. It's not a universal invisible assembly of all believers. That's the family of God. You don't have to be a church to go to heaven. All you have to be is a child of God. But if you're going to be in obedience to God, you're going to have to be in a church that preaches and teaches his truth and has the authority to baptize, whether you like it or not. Ephesians 2:22. This is what a church is. In whom ye also, members of the church at Thessalonica, not Thessalonica, but Ephesus, in whom ye also are built together for habitation of God through the Spirit. That's where God's Spirit dwells, in the midst of a local church that preaches and teaches his word. He's the head of it, the foundation of it. He dwelt with the first church he organized. He organized it during his earthly ministry. Then the Spirit of God descended on it at Pentecost and empowered it. Notice what Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Paul wrote to Timothy, these things have I written unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly, but if I tarry long, that ye may know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and holy priesthood. A priesthood, a priest, had to submerge himself every night underneath the temple before the next day's sacrifices. Someone who was a priest was in obedience to God. He offered up the spiritual sacrifices in the temple. Every local church is a local visible temple. And there God accepts your spiritual sacrifices, and they're acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, I've listened all my life to people that say, oh, I just don't want a crown. I don't care about stuff like that. I don't care what my outer apparel is in heaven. I just want to serve God because I love God, and I'm not interested in any of that stuff. I just want to be a wonderful servant of God. Folks, that's pure old baloney, and you're just deceiving yourself. If you don't want the rewards God's got waiting for you in heaven, you must not have very much respect for God. Because when someone like God wants to give you something, you better be willing to work for it and to run for it and to make a race for it. Here's my point. Revelation 4, 10, and 11. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. There are a lot of different opinions as to who these elders are. 12 probably from the church age and 12 probably from the Old Testament. But we know that they're humans, whoever they were and are. And 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns down before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and honor and power. Glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I've heard people say this, and I don't want a show of hands, but I want you to test your own attitude. I've heard people say, what's the sense in me working for a crown if I have to give it back? Now you think about that. Has that crossed your mind? Well, let me tell you, you've got some spiritual problems. Because if you think you can play make a deal with God and what's in it for me, you don't have a spiritual attitude. And believe me, when you come before Christ, if you don't have something to lay before him, and other people do, how do you think you're going to feel? This is a very serious thing, serving Christ, and it's a very real thing. Well, I told Ken tonight I was going to talk about the bride and her outer garments and her inner garments and heaven, but as Shirley will tell you, I have lied before. So Ken, you'll just have to catch that tomorrow night, because it's 8 o'clock. And when the big hand gets up there on 8 o'clock, why, I guess it's about time to dismiss. Are you ready to go home, Ken? Now, after this is over, I want you to know who kept you here. Would you dismiss us, Daryl?